Book of Daniel, chapter 2. Book of Daniel, chapter 2. We left off last week with the king sending out a decree that all the wise men in the land should be destroyed, and that was because they were unable to tell Nebuchadnezzar his dream. He asked for them to not only give them the interpretation of his dream, but also to tell them what the dream was. So it could have been Nebuchadnezzar had, like we have sometimes, you have a dream and you wake up and you knew you had a dream, and but you just can't remember exactly what it was. Maybe you may remember bits and pieces or things like that. And so he, in his haste, has in his pride, has brought this decree forth that all the wise men should be killed. And acting upon this decree, the acting upon this decree has already begun. They're already in the process of going to destroy the wise men. Look at verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. The problem with this decree was that it also included Daniel and his companions. And this morning we're going to look at the specifics of this decree and how it affects Daniel, and especially how Daniel responds to it. And we'll pray, then we'll have a special, and then we'll start. Father, we're grateful this morning that we could gather together, that as we look into your word this morning, that we would take time to prepare our hearts for the scriptures that will come forth, that through it we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the scripture, and that through it we might be able to be encouraged and strengthened for the days ahead. Bless now this time we have together, and we'll give you the praise for it. Bless us, bless the song, that again, let it be a blessing to you, and we'll give you the praise for it. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Look back at Daniel chapter 2, again, verse 14. The Bible says, "And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom from Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to the Arioch king's captain, 'Why is the decree so hasty from the king?' Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Daniel asked for time to seek wisdom of God concerning this matter that the king had, and how this king was affected by it. So he asks, notice though, he ask in confidence. He says, if you will give me time, my God will give me the wisdom to not only know what the dream was, but also to interpret that dream for you. Look at verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning his secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So the word secret there is mystery. So this dream was a mystery. Even if we go back to last week, when the wise men and the responded to the king's request by saying, look, at this thing that you're asking of us is, nobody's ever asked us to do anything like this. We've always been given the dream, and then we are able to take that dream and to interpret it. Now, that's not like a terrible thing that they were asking, because many times when people want counsel from you, you will say to them, well, tell me the situation. Tell me the specifics of the situation. Don't leave anything out. Give me everything as it is, that I might be able to help you to know what it is to you to do. That is because we rely on our own worldly wisdom and understanding to figure these matters out. This thing, the Bible says, is a secret. It's a mystery. So this is something that nobody's able to see. And Daniel is seeking wisdom, as even he doesn't know what the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, because it was even hidden for him. Put something here and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Well, we have to realize that in this life that we live, there are many things that we will see from the scriptures and learn from the scriptures that will be even a mystery to us. They're hidden from us. They're darkened, if you will. And 1 Corinthians says it pretty well here on kind of what this life looks like when it comes to gaining knowledge and wisdom and understanding. In 1 Corinthians 13, 12, the Bible says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." So the word glass here is really a mirror, right? That's what they called a looking glass back in the day. But it's a mirror. So we look through the Word of God. And it, first of all, the Word of God is a mirror for us. It's a great opportunity for us to look into the perfect law of liberty and have that perfect law of liberty shine back onto us to show us who and what we really are. And so also, though, it says it is darkly. And when you're looking through that and you're kind of seeing that reflection. How many have ever been to a museum and saw like a looking glass from back in the, you know, early 1800s or even back farther for that, right? You look at it, it's not like the mirror we have today. The mirror today, unfortunately, shows off all of our impurities and our problems. But back in that day, it was more of a blurred, it was just kind of blurry. You could see yourself, but not quite like we have today. And that's what he's talking about here when he talks about the Word of God being darkly. We currently see some aspects of God in some parts of the scriptures, but there are some parts of the scripture that we look at and we can't really say for certain what we're seeing or understanding from it. Heaven is a great opportunity for that. He describes heaven at places, but yet we don't fully and totally understand exactly what all of that means. When we understand that in hell, that people will be in torment. We understand that there'll be a fire that will not quench, but we don't understand that. Because everything we know about fire is it quenches. It consumes, I mean, not quenches, but consumes, right? And so it's not going to be the case down there. And so we see these things, but one day, the Bible says here, that we'll see face to face. So we will know those things that are mysteries to us now will be fully made available and known to us when we get on that side of eternity. When we leave this life and we get into the place where we can truly understand the fullness of those things. But notice it says in part, right? That's in pieces. So we know in pieces today, but one day we'll be able to know wholly and completely what here on earth we could not fully understand and fully grasp. Go over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. The reason why we struggle so much as people is because we have an obstructed view of this life. We think we can understand a lot of times what's going on, but then other things happen alongside of it, and then you're like, okay, well, now I have no clue what's going on. I thought I did, but now I don't have any idea because we're living with that obstructed view. It's kind of like a pilot when he goes into bad weather. He has to turn to the instruments that's before him and trust the instruments, what the instruments are saying, to pilot that plane through that bad weather. It's kind of like the same thing in our life. There are times in our life we're going to go through great storms where we're not going to be able to see what is going on and what is happening. And we have to trust that God is leading us and guiding us. But troubles and trials of this life have great potential for us, especially in the area of growing our faith. Look here at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Trial builds patience in our life. Patience is cheerful endurance. It's persevering through the difficulties of this life. But then he says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Experience here is the trustworthiness. It's the proving of God. The trials of the life that you go through, trials of this life that you go through, prove God to be as true and faithful as he says he is. So sometimes we bemoan all the trials that we go through in this life, but they're there to help us to learn more and more and more that God will provide as he said he would. So the greater trials you go through in life, the easier trusting God becomes, because you get to the point where it's like, well, if he can bring me through that, he can bring me through this. And then that experience brings about hope. That's the confidence in God to do those things. These attributes are to be increased in our life and are increased in our lives through the trials that God brings to us in our lives. It helps mold us into the person that God wants us to be. So our problem is our flesh, because we normally follow it. However, the problem comes when the flesh has no answer for the things that we're dealing with. They're unable to see a solution. So when we cannot see a solution, we are forced to use our senses, as I was mentioning before about the pilot using the instruments. So that's where patience and experience and hope comes into play. It kicks in, and it just naturally for us to actually trust God and believe God through the trials. Go back to a military, right? The military train you how to do something in the middle of battle. This is how you're to react, and this is how you respond. So that when you're in the heat of that, you don't think about it. You just do naturally what you were trained to do. So we see that here. Go over to Mark chapter 6. So patience, experience, and hope will lead you to go to God in prayer. Because when your senses and your understanding cannot figure it out, you will naturally have to turn to someone who sees and understands what we cannot see and understand. But what I also find interesting in this passage is Daniel, when he goes to God in prayer, he does not ask for wisdom how to keep him and his companions from perishing along with the wise men. He's looking for a solution that will not only bring him out of the plight of this destruction of his life, but also the wise men as well. And it's interesting because we normally, when we pray very selfishly. Lord, I need this, I need that. And then maybe God will bring to our mind and heart someone that has a need, and we're like, oh yeah, we'll pray for so-and-so as well. And I said that in a kind of a joking way, but that's kind of the way it is. We normally are very selfish in those things. But not Daniel's response. He's not asking just for relief for them, but also that whole group of wise men as well. Look here at Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Because God wants us to be mindful of others. He does not want us to live a life that only thinks about ourselves and constantly seeing our own needs. Mark 6, 34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things." So Jesus saw the need of the people that were before him, and it moved him to a place of compassion. It moved him to a place to where he desired something for them. Go over to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. God wants us to come to that place in our lives where we desire to intervene on the behalf of those that we know and care about for the Lord. He wants us to come to a place where we see and listen for the needs of others. In conversation, it's so easy sometimes for us to want to talk about us and what's going on in our lives. But sometimes it's good for us to sit back and listen, because sometimes you in a conversation, you'll hear the needs that people have in their life, and they're not asking you to do something. But maybe because of that listening, God may prompt your heart to intervene and to be a help and to be a blessing. And you need to be open to doing those things, because sometimes being a blessing may actually be more work or more on you than even sometimes what you want. But you do that anyways because of the blessing of the Lord that come, that somebody would actually praise God for that. Look at Romans chapter 9. Look at Paul and his desire that he has in his life. Now, Paul, at this time, he's going through much difficulty in his life. He's just gotten saved. His other disciples didn't want anything to do with him because they thought this was some type of scheme that he was doing to try to reel him in. But look what he says in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, Paul's desire is one to the point to where he's saying, look, if I could be a curse from Christ, if I could not get the salvation that I get because I put my faith in Christ, for the purpose that my kinsmen, the other Jews would receive Christ, I would do that. Now, I'm not there yet. I'm just saying, I love people, but I don't know if I love them that much. But that's where Paul was. Paul had that great desire to see his fellow Jews come to Christ. And he recognized that, and it became a continual sorrow in his heart. It was great heaviness upon him. He was burdened greatly for that. Go back to Daniel chapter 2 now. Look at verse 19 again. He was burdened in his heart. It created a heart that was extremely burdened on that. Now, again, he could have easily been focused on how he's being mistreated, but he focused instead to put his attention and his mind to the things of trying to reach the Jews for Christ. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, he goes on and he says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So Daniel receives an answer to the prayer that he was seeking for. He's seeking that wisdom and understanding. Now, what's interesting here is the response from Daniel in this answered prayer. Daniel immediately, it says here, blessed the God of heaven. Now, many of us, when we get an answer to prayer, we seek others to tell about it. Many of us go off to accomplish whatever it is that God had led us to do. We just go off and seek to accomplish that thing. And this is especially impressive when you think about the fact that Daniel's life was on the line. Daniel's life was on the line. His companion's life was on the line. All the wise men in Babylon's life was on the line. And you would think maybe his immediate reaction would be, hey, I'm going to go to the king right now and stop this thing. But instead, he takes time to praise God and to give a blessing to God for the wisdom that he gave and the wisdom that he was able to receive. In the next few verses, we will see the prayer that Daniel prays to God. But when we think about this, Daniel, what he first does is he gives a blessing to God. He tells God, thank you for what you've done for me. Verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. So Daniel starts by recognizing the name of God. He glorifies the name of God. He gives a blessing of praise to God for that. Look up here at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. There are times in our lives where it would be better for us not to come and just lay the litany of things that we want from God, but sometimes it'd be good for us to go to God and just praise God for who he is, for his person, for what he does. In God's power, in God's might, God has supreme control over everything. So he speaks this about his power and his wisdom and his might and how God uses those things. Look at verse 21, and he changes the times and the seasons. Now, the times and the seasons here is not just like the changing from fall to spring, but it's specifically speaking about the eras and the time that has gone past, the periods of time. It's talking about God controlling the timing of events, the rising and fall of people, the opportunities that come forth, the judgments that come forth. You think about time that we've had over the last 150 years, in the advancements in technology and things like that. God granted people wisdom to be able to do those things and to see those things. So it just doesn't happen randomly. God has put these things in motion. History itself is not random. God governs when things happen and how things happen. So for example, it was not a coincidence that a ram was caught in the thicket when Abraham and Isaac went up that mountain. It was not a coincidence that Rebekah came to the well after Abraham's eldest servant arrived to find Isaac a bride. It was not a coincidence that Ruth happened to be gleaning in Boaz's field that morning. It was not a coincidence that the Samaritan woman arrived at the well just after Jesus arrived. It was not a coincidence that the blind beggar was sitting exactly where Jesus would walk through in John chapter 9. God positioned and placed those things in motion. So we see that he controls and he changes the times and the season. He goes on, it says, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Go over to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Keep something there in Daniel chapter 2. If you think about it, even in our text passage in our, that we're studying, even Nebuchadnezzar was on the throne at this time for a reason. God had him there for a purpose. He's changing the times. He's moving those things. Daniel, while he's out tending his father's sheep and Saul's the king, God had already put in motion the plan to remove Saul as king and put David in his place. Moving and orchestrating those things. But look what God says about Pharaoh here. Exodus chapter 9, look at verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause, notice this, have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So God raised Pharaoh up to sit on the throne as king to show his power to the nations. He knew the pride of Pharaoh. He knew that if he was in power, that he would harden his heart against God's wishes. So God put him in that place, and God sets up and takes down kings and the nations throughout history. There were no coincidences in life, but the providence of God working and moving through those things. Go back to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, and look back at verse 21 now. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. I mean, if you think about it, our text that we're studying finds certain of the children of Israel captive in Babylon. God allowed this to happen. Look at the last part of verse 21. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So God will give wisdom and understanding and knowledge to those that seek it. Verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. So God sees and understands everything. No matter what is hidden to man, God sees it. God understands it. That's why we go to him, because of his wisdom and understanding. Look up at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So God is the source of truth and illumination, even to those that are stuck in a mystery and stuck in something that's darkened to them and can't understand. Verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel gives personal thanks and acknowledgement to God for the wisdom and the might that he's given to him and making him to understand what it is. Now, what's interesting here is you see again in Daniel where his heart is. Notice what he says at the end there. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Now, most of us would take that, God gave me the wisdom. But he recognized that, look, it's not about me. It's about what God's doing. So let's apply this. So Daniel comes to God. He's rejoicing the answer of God to his plea before God. He didn't go tell everybody else what was happening. He immediately took time to pray and praise God and bless God for what he has done for him. And in his praise, or in his prayer, he praises God several times for his wisdom and his might. His wisdom and his might. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 4. When we think about this, and we think about the plight that Daniel was in, his life is on the line, his death is imminent, and yet he seeks counsel from Arioch for just a little time to pray and ask God in confidence, knowing that, listen, give me just a little time and I will come to thee, king, and I will tell him not only what his dream was, but the interpretation of it, because I trust and believe that God is going to give me that wisdom because it is in God's best interest for that to happen. But but what we must understand is when it comes to God's wisdom and God's might, is that it's a normal occurrence for God to give wisdom to individuals. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. So what we must understand is wisdom to God is plentiful. Now you and I, we have a limitation to the wisdom that we have. There are circumstances, situations when people come to me and they ask me for counsel. I look at them and I say, look, I don't know if I can help you. I've either A, not experienced that, or I don't know what is going to be best in this situation. I can pray about this, but the best thing for you to do is go and pray to God for wisdom and understanding. But Solomon is granted wisdom, but he's also given understanding as well. Go over to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Wisdom is a part of the whole thing of knowledge, understanding, wisdom play a part together. Look here at Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. In the scriptures, you're going to see the words wisdom, you'll see the words understanding, and you'll see the words knowledge. And it's important for us to understand that these three differ from each other, but they're very similar in the aspect of it. But I want to show you how they work together. Go over to Proverbs chapter 1 now. Look at verse 7. So the first one, if you look at this in a series, is knowledge. Right? Knowledge is the base of where wisdom can be built from. Look here at Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So knowledge is the learning of facts. Right? The learning of facts. We understand that. That's what when we went to school, we gained knowledge. All right. Look back to Proverbs chapter 2. Now look at verse 1. So we gain knowledge. So when you pick up a book and you read it, if you're reading, let's say you want to read a book on plumbing and you want to learn how to plumbing, you're gaining knowledge of plumbing. So that means that you know the basics of whatever it is that you're learning. I understand that part. Now what's understanding? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So knowledge is the learning of facts, but understanding is the ability to comprehend, to discern, and to see how that knowledge that you learn fits together. So that means that you're able now to take that knowledge about plumbing. Okay, I know that these pipes work together and you put a little, you know, U-shaped in it and then it goes out and then you learn what's that for? Why not just go straight? Right? Why do they have that little curve there and then it goes out like that? Right? And you start to learn that. Now you're starting to apply those things. You're starting to learn those. Look what he says here in James chapter 3, verse 17. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So we see that this, you gain knowledge, then you get understanding, and then wisdom comes. But wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is given from God. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge and understanding correctly in your life. So it's the act of making right decisions. Knowledge is what you know. Understanding is what does it mean. And then wisdom is what do I do? Look at verse 3 in Proverbs chapter 2. And we see it in a little bit greater sense here. We'll start back in verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So when we see this, we see that the knowledge you get, then you take that knowledge and you begin to understand how all those things work together, and then you have the wisdom to do that. Again, look at verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. So the understanding is, how do I take this knowledge that I have and put it together in a way that I can apply that to my life so that the wisdom can come, then I can do what I need to do appropriately. So knowledge is you learn truth. Wisdom is you comprehend what the truth means. And wisdom is you apply it correctly in your life. Go over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. So let me illustrate it for you this way. You can have the knowledge that water changes temperature. You learned in school there's that water or liquid can be in the form of a gas, it can be in the form of a liquid, and it can be in the form of a solid. And so you understand that it can move those things. Then understanding comes along, because then you learn some more and then you begin to understand. Okay, so how does it get to a gas? How does it get to a liquid? And how does it get to a solid? So then you learn, okay, that water is affected by heat, and it's affected by cold. So you have that understanding now. Wisdom is taking your knowledge that water can change, and taking that it changes by heat and cool. And when it's negative 30 degrees outside, you take that and you use the wisdom not to go jump in the water at that time of the year. You say, well, how's it, if it's negative 30? Okay, so it's running water. There you go. Sorry. See? But that's where that comes into. So knowledge is important. But knowledge is important. But if you have knowledge but you don't have understanding, it's not going to do you a lot of good. Because you need the knowledge and the understanding that wisdom can then be open to you so that you can understand what it is that God's telling you to do. So again, knowledge and wisdom is very, very important. So Daniel gained wisdom from the Lord, and when he did that, he praised God for the wisdom and the power of his might that he had. Look here at Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to the no understanding. So he said, I'm instructing you, I'm giving you knowledge, but now I want you to understand what it is that I'm explaining to you. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, knowledge, keep my commandments, understanding, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Right? So it's backwards, right? So you get wisdom from God, but you need to have that understanding, but don't leave off learning. Don't leave off learning from, because you have to have learning to get understanding, to get wisdom. Forsake her not, verse 6, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Look at verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So God says that wisdom should be the principal thing in your life. That means one of the most important things that you should desire in your life is to gain wisdom from God. Listen, you can read this Bible, you can study this Bible, you can learn from this Bible. You may even be able to take this and be able to say, okay, well, if this verse says this here, then I put this verse over here together and I can gain this understanding from it. But if you don't learn to apply that to your life, that's where the wisdom comes in. How do I apply what I'm learning into my life that it might be beneficial for me? Then that's where God comes in and he's saying, listen, wisdom is the principal thing. Knowledge is good. Understanding is good. But you want to get to the point to where you're seeking God for the wisdom of God, taking all those things that you're learning and putting them together. And when you get wisdom, you get better understanding. You get better understanding of how God is working and moving in those things. We see that we should seek that wisdom, right? Remember back in the earlier in chapter 2 where he says, seeketh her as hid treasures. And and like gold and silver. You're a seeker for that thing. Go over to Proverbs chapter 9. God wants us to seek that wisdom and understanding and knowledge with our life. Make it the principal thing. Make it one of the most important things that you do in your life is to gain wisdom from God. That's why, again, as we talked a couple weeks ago about the companions that you have, the friends that you have, putting yourself again around people that will challenge you and spurn you to the place to where you want to learn more and understand more and get more wisdom from God. Because iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. That's where all of this comes into play and makes it very important. But the reason why wisdom is so important and why knowledge and understanding is crucial with it is because hear what it says here in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. So when you learn about God, when you learn just what the Word of God says about God is important, because that knowledge will then bring about understanding in your life. You begin to understand why God did things and why God said these things. And then that will spurn you to the place to where then you go to God as God says so many times. So the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is when you come to that place in your life and you recognize you're lost and undone without Jesus Christ, and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. A relationship with God is where the fear of the Lord begins. Then the Holy Spirit comes into your life after salvation. And the Holy Spirit guides believers into all truth, John 16:13 tells us. So knowledge of God is the foundation to having wisdom. When we know about God, it helps us to take that knowledge that we have, to gain understanding from it, and then to comprehend that knowledge and know what to do. Understanding helps us to know how to apply that knowledge correctly in our lives to have that wisdom that we desire. Go over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. So in our lives, we need to go to God to give us the wisdom and understanding that we need in our life. When we do that, we can just go to God ourselves. We can do like Daniel did and go to others and say, hey, pray with me that I would have the wisdom and understanding that I need in my life. We have to yield your life, if you will, to God in the direction of your life and trust him through it. Look here at Matthew chapter 28. How do we unlock this? How do we take this understanding of the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding? How do we take all this and apply it to our life so that we can trust God and believe God to do those things? Look what Matthew 28:18 says here. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If a child of God believes that God has all power, then he or she has nowhere else to go but to God. And listen, we go to other people many times before we go to God because we want an instant answer to our problem. Most of us have given counsel to somebody, and in the matter of giving that counsel, you give counsel and then they're kind of arguing with you, and you're kind of getting that in your back of your mind, and you're like, you want to say it, but some of you don't have the tenacity to say it. Some of us sometimes say it. If you're just looking for someone to agree with you, then you're not looking for counsel and wisdom. You're just looking for somebody to agree with you. But God says, listen, I want you to come to me in a way. And if you believe that all power is given to me in heaven and earth, then trust me. Believe in me. Believe in my power. Believe in my might. And if we believe that, it should drive us to prayer. It should drive us to the place that God has brought us to. It's interesting sometimes to me when God puts these things together in a way to bring forth, and then we have a situation like this morning when the song that the lady sang, when he says, I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from this its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry about or the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I will walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. That is a perfect song that represents what verse 18 says. All power is given unto me, heaven and earth. If we believe that God has all power, then we should never worry about a situation that we're in. We should be able to trust him and believe in him, that he is going to give us the wisdom that we desire in our life. If we desire to seek wisdom from God, we will experience and appreciate the wisdom that God gives when asked, and it will help us to make wisdom a principal thing in our life. Then, when we receive that wisdom, let us praise God through prayer and through testifying to others of his power and his might. Daniel, when he was faced with this very difficult situation, went to God, sought God, and asked God for wisdom. God gave him wisdom, and he immediately, before even going to the king to relieve him of the plight that he was in, he blesses God. It almost sounds like an oxymoron that we would bless God when we are so blessed by God. But we go, he went and he praised God through prayer, and let us do the same thing. Let us seek knowledge. Let us seek understanding. Let us seek wisdom. Let us make wisdom the principal thing in our life through prayer, and let us praise God and glorify God when he gives us that. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful this morning for the opportunity that we have to come together. We're thankful that this passage shows us the importance of prayer and how if we go to you and seek you in times of difficulty,